Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dan, Fox America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Canada will join us in approximately 1 hour from now. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And speaking of Israel, if you watched the Fox presidential debates last night, the Republican ones, it becomes abundantly clear that with the exception of Ron Paul, pretty much the rest of the field is right on board with the neoconservative foreign policy base and agenda, and that if any of these people happen to be nominated as the Republican presidential candidate, we will have a two-sided counterfeit coin in regard to this whole issue of war for empire and for Israel in the Middle East. Quite clearly, Fox News last night was pushing the Rudolph Giuliani agenda. Isn't it interesting that subsequent to these debates that we see certain people being isolated and promoted by Fox News as the insiders for the Republican nomination? It's a very old game. It's been played for a very long period of time, and it sets up once again the specter of this professional wrestling match that we're about to see in the fall of 2008 when Hillary Clinton faces off most likely against either Rudolph Giuliani, Mitt Romney, or John McCain. In that event, of course, it becomes abundantly clear that the same factors and the same factions win on either side of the equation, which means that they win and you lose. Have a very important post today from Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network entitled Israel, What We Don't Want to Know. Harmony says, what is it they say about too little too late? Some public figures are beginning to figure out Zionism. Others muddle on in darkness. Tony Blair, the boyish, blue-eyed ex-prime minister of Britain, was surely Bush's strongest ally in the Iraq War. He recently toured the West Bank to see the fruits of the Jewish state he has spilt British blood to protect. The Independent reports his shock. Witnesses say he, quote, was genuinely taken aback by his trip to the West Bank sector of the Jordan Valley, where Palestinians are allowed to dig wells only a third as deep as Israelis. As a result of the exploitation of resources by the rich Jewish agricultural settlements at the expense of closed-in Palestinian farmers, unquote. Although a world leader, Harmony Grant says, Blair apparently didn't realize the conditions of life for Palestinians under Israel's thumb. So how can we expect more from average citizens living in a society of controlled information? Another elite who is thinking for himself is leading UK evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, yet he faces the charge of quote-unquote classic anti-Semitism for stating the documented fact that the American Jewish lobby is, quote, monopolizing American foreign policy, unquote. But other powerful national leaders seem impervious to the evidence piling up against Israel's image as a free, friendly ally. Sam Brownback of Kansas recently supported a right-wing Israeli proposal to defeat the two-state peace process. Rabbi Ilon, chairman of the right-wing National Union Party in Israel, came up with a plan which denies a Palestinian state. Brownback called it a, quote, movement forward, unquote. Indeed it is, says Harmony Grant, a jackbooted, bully step toward even greater darkness. Ilon's spokesman said bluntly, quote, this is the completion of the transfer of the Palestinian population that began in 1948, unquote. Yes, indeed, says Harmony Grant, let's complete that bloody, violent expulsion of 800,000 Palestinians, merchants, farmers, and tradespeople exiled into virtual concentration camps in Gaza, Lebanon, and the West Bank. If Mr. Brownback visited the real Israel, says Harmony Grant, not the one of evangelicals' tours, would he repent? Like Mr. Blair, wouldn't he be, quote, taken aback, unquote, and in, quote, shock, unquote? Imagine if these men spoke to Abdullah, who had to identify the lower half of his son's body in a morgue refrigerator. His son, who was one of the 92 Palestinian children killed in this past year of the Jewish calendar. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, will join me at 8 o'clock this morning.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made
Benny Grant and his simple statement of truth would be even more quickly sliced out in the USA, the one nation virtually as responsible as Israel for these children's blood. The more important a truth might be, the more carefully we should investigate any evidence for it. Evangelicals like Sam Brownback are passionately committed to the welfare and good reputation of Israel. But if there is even a chance that God is angry, that this nation is not the innocent, embattled ally she pretends, we should carefully seek out the truth. This is not an easy thing to do, says Harmony Grant, even though the evidence abounds. We live in a society of carefully filtered information. Those who stray from the mainstream of acceptable opinion enter emotionally charged territory. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith has been most persuasive at blackening certain fact-based opinions because of the supposed motivations or emotions behind them. Consider that conservative pundit Ann Coulter is facing flak for a simple statement about Christians' desire for Jews to be perfected through faith in Christ. The National Jewish Democratic Council told Republican presidential candidates that they should publicly rebuke her remark. For what? Asks Harmony Grant. Coulter said no more than any third-grade textbook on world religions. Christians believe Jews must convert and put their faith in the true Messiah. Jewish activists' intolerance of this simple truth about religious belief speaks volumes. Evangelicals should be slow to ally themselves with those who want to silence the most basic facts of our faith. And we should be a lot more persistent in seeking truth outside the mainstream. If Christians' desire for Jews' salvation is anti-Semitism, quote-unquote, and should be censored, what other facts are being kept in the dark? This is coming to us today from Harmony Grant of the National Prayer Network. The essay is entitled, Israel, What We Don't Want to Know. Here's another important piece today at lourockwell.com coming to us from Stephen Greenhut, and it's entitled, The Republican Crackup. The libertarian and conservative factions of the old Reagan coalition are marching to different drummers. You know, Greenhut's essay this morning dovetails with what I noticed last night watching the Fox presidential news debates on that infamous news channel. It becomes abundantly clear that the American right is in philosophical disarray. It's in philosophical disarray because fundamentally it has lost its constitutional moorings. We can go back into some of the history of that, certainly with some of the information that Dr. E. Michael Jones and others have bequeathed to us about what happened to the American right under the leadership of William F. Buckley in National Review. Be that as it may, it becomes abundantly clear that something has happened when the American right is supporting the notion of the ongoing centralization of power in the hands of the federal government of the United States, and when the so-called Republican right is going along with the concentration of power that's taking place as we see a transfer of jurisdictions from the federal government of the United States to various global entities of the New World Order. What also becomes abundantly clear is that something has happened when the American right generally and the Republican right specifically find themselves in bed with the idea that the federal government of the United States should have ever-increasing surveillance powers vis-a-vis the average American citizen. There was nothing said last night on Fox News about the whole business of federalizing local law enforcement. There was nothing last night on Fox News that I could see of any substance whatsoever about the real agenda that is behind the National Security Agency's surveillance spying program. And, of course, there was little, if any, discussion last night of the implications of both of the USA Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act of 2006. The fact of the matter is that something has happened when the so-called American right finds itself increasingly comfortable with the notion that the United States Armed Forces should continue to be involved in 130 different countries around the world. When we find ourselves spending, of course, over $500 billion a year for national defense and seeing an ever-increasing number of Republican candidates saying that that's not enough, that we need to spend even more on national defense, given the fact that we are already running a $9 trillion budget deficit. And, of course, there's that old bogeyman in the Middle East, Israel. Nothing was said last night of any substance, with the possible exception of Ron Paul, in regard to who and what it is that is behind this latest push for war in the Middle East. The fact of the matter is that when you look at the old American right was distrustful of centralized power. The old American right understood that the Constitution of the United States was put in place to bind the leadership of this country and to bind powerful political forces with the chains of the Constitution. The notion that we should unchain these forces and that we should be at the liberty and mercy of these forces when it comes to our own God-given individual rights is an absolutely terrifying concept that nonetheless seems to be bought into by the vast majority of people running for president on the Republican ticket. And, of course, when we begin to talk about this whole issue of national debt and the declension of the dollar and the whole issue of the Federal Reserve Board, Ron Paul was the only candidate last night who spoke about any of these issues, however briefly, because of the controlled nature of the agenda on Fox News and its televised debate format. But nonetheless, it becomes abundantly clear that as we proceed into the fall of 2008, that barring an act of God, Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee for president. And barring a similar act of God, we are going to see either Rudolph Giuliani, Mitt Romney, or John McCain nominated as the Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States. What does this mean? What it means is abundantly clear, that there will be a war in the Middle East that will be expanded, that there will be an American attack on Iran, that there will be a wider war in the Middle East as America continues to support Zionist interests across the board in that part of the world as well as throughout the world, and that we will see an ongoing increase in the national debt of the United States, an ongoing increase in the declension of the value of the dollar simply because of the Federal Reserve's expansion of the money supply to cover all of the commitments that we have made worldwide as well as domestically. And then, of course, there's that whole business of entitlements. When you listen to Republican presidential contenders talking about all of the various areas where the federal government should be involved in supposedly supporting the economic security of American citizens, whatever happened to the concept of individual liberty that used to characterize the American right? Steve Greenhood gets into this in his essay entitled The Republican Crackup. The libertarian and conservative factions of the old Reagan coalition are marching to different drummers. You can see this morning at lewrockwell.com. Greenhood quotes President Ronald Reagan as saying that if you analyze it, I believe the very heart and soul of conservatism is libertarianism. The basis of conservatism is a desire for less government interference or less centralized authority, or more individual freedom. And this is a pretty general description also of what libertarianism is. I think that libertarianism and conservatism are traveling the same path, unquote. That quotation, says Greenhood, was appropriately reprinted on the first page of the official program for the Conservative Leadership Conference in Reno, Nevada last weekend, an event that sought to rebuild the largely frayed conservative libertarian Reagan coalition in time to spare the country from a Hillary Clinton presidency. I spoke to the group about my exit from the Republican Party, says Greenhut, but after listening to other speakers and attendees gathered for the three-day event, I must conclude that Reagan's words no longer ring true. Conservatives and libertarians are marching to different drummers, going on different paths, going in opposite directions. The libertarians still are committed to less government interference and less centralized authority, but conservatives these days are more interested in building an all-powerful central government to wage war on real and perceived enemies at home and abroad. Conservatives use the word freedom while they wax poetic about American military might, but the policies they promote show no sign of trusting individual Americans to live their lives as they please, and every sign of trusting the government to do what is best. During the Cold War, an inspiring leader such as Reagan was able to keep internal peace as both factions battled their mutual enemies, the Soviet Empire and tax-and-spend Democrats. The former is gone, says Greenhut, and the latter is still with us, but many libertarians have come to realize that they are as far apart from their conservative allies, quote-unquote, on the big issues of the day as they are from their liberal adversaries. There were shades of this GOP crack-up throughout the conference. Friday morning, former House Majority Leader Dick Armey, who along with Newt Gingrich crafted the Contract with America, which enabled Republicans in 1994 to seize control of the House for the first time in 40 years, gave a speech that was a clarion call for liberty. He blamed the ensuing Republican sellouts on the willingness of the GOP politicians to put political gain above public policy. He compared the private sector, which is based on freely chosen deal-making, with the public sector. Quote, divisional labor works when people mind their own business, he said. Government is about minding other people's business. Governments exist to make you do what you would not do voluntarily.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. 5-6625.
866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, will be with us at approximately 8 o'clock this morning with a live hookup from Vancouver. You know, again, getting back to last night's Fox presidential debates in the Republican Party, it becomes incredibly terrifying to look at where we are in this country. Let's assume for a moment that Ron Paul is not the Republican nominee for president. I am supporting him, of course, but I don't think he's going to be the nominee. Let's hope that I'm wrong. Boy, am I going to be happy if I'm proven wrong. I think all kinds of things about the direction that we're going in presently, both in domestic policy and foreign policy, as well as culturally. But if I'm proven wrong and we wake up and Ron Paul is the Republican nominee, then we're going to have a choice. But assuming that that is not the case and that the manufactured engineered candidacies of Giuliani, Romney, or McCain result in a nomination to run against Hillary Clinton, then we really are in a pickle. And it seems to me that that's exactly where we're going to be in the fall of 2008. You know, when you stop and think about it for a moment, you look at national debt, you look at the Federal Reserve Board priming the pump, you look at the whole issue of cultural declension in this country in regard to all of the things that suggest that we are, on a cultural and spiritual basis, living in a high state of malignancy. And then, of course, this whole issue of foreign policy. Do we want a foreign policy that is rooted in constant interventionism abroad? Do we want a foreign policy where the national security state has us involved militarily in 130 different countries abroad? Do we want a circumstance where we are going to spend over $500 billion a year on national defense and the intelligence industry? You know, this is a very interesting thing when we come to the whole issue of NATO. Last night we listened to some interesting proposals from Mr. McCain that would further expand the North American Treaty Organization. You go back to the history, of course, of NATO, why it was formed and how it was formed. We're now looking at a different beast, aren't we? With the demise of the so-called Soviet Union, what is the basic purpose of NATO today? Is it an organization that is in search of a mission? It would appear that it is. And when we start looking at a situation where we are willing to militarize the borders of the former Soviet Union, when we are looking to include Israel in the NATO alliance, when we are talking about utilizing NATO as a global police force to intervene in any situation that we deem necessary for intervention in regard to keeping multinationals' access to cheap raw materials intact, it becomes abundantly clear that the NATO alliance has now evolved into a completely different beast from the original product that was sold to the American people and that was approved by the United States Senate, lo, these many years ago. Folks, as we watch this whole thing develop, it becomes abundantly clear in conjunction with Stephen Greenhut's essay this morning entitled The Republican Crackup, that there is a fissure on the American right between those who actually continue to take liberty seriously, those who continue to distrust centralized freedom, those who continue to understand the Constitution and its parameters when it comes to government, and those who think that all the government in the world is a wonderful thing. There was one interesting question that was asked last night of Ron Paul. He was asked whether he had left the Republican Party or the Republican Party had left him. That's a question that, of course, could have been asked of me had I been standing up there on the stage last night. I'm sure it's a question that could have been asked of many of you who listen to this show who are no longer members of the Republican Party for the same reasons that I jettisoned that scene in 1996. We have now, 11 years later, come to a point where we are actually talking about the possibility of the Republican Party nominating for president an individual who espouses all of the things that used to be an absolute anathema to the real Republican right and to the real American right. In the Greenhut essay this morning in LouRockwell.com certainly underscores the fact that this ideological division is a part of a larger cancer and a larger bankruptcy that has impacted the American right progressively since the end of World War II, that has now brought us to the virtual edge of the cliff in regard to the possible nomination of either Rudolph Giuliani, Mitt Romney, or John McCain as the next Republican contender for the presidency of the United States. We quote Dick Armey again. Divisional labor works when people mind their own business. Government is about minding other people's business. Governments exist to make you do what you would not do voluntarily, unquote. That was a rousing talk, says Greenhut. A little later, GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney pilloried Hillary Clinton for complaining that America is in, quote, on your own society, unquote, rather than, quote, shared responsibility society, unquote. He chided her, out with Adam Smith and in with Karl Marx. That was fine.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down.
We're back. This is Mark Dan Costa America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, will be standing there to be with us at approximately 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. When we talk to Greg Felton, we get all kinds of insights on things that are happening on the Canadian side of the border. that have some degree of light to be shown on the American political scene, and he has two or three things that he's going to be chatting with us about this morning happening up there in Canada that have some degree of relevance to the developments that we see being undertaken in the Republican presidential sweepstakes specifically and in the American presidential sweepstakes generally. By the way, if you're looking for some good articles this morning, Strike the Root has an excellent one. Glenn Allport, who, of course, has a very, very fine article on 9/11 for Strike the Root, has now posted something on money. The Paradise Perspective Commentary from a Free and Compassionate Alternate Reality, Volume 1, Number 37, an essay entitled Money, which is posted as an exclusive to Strike the Root. You know, I'm going to maybe read a little bit more from this essay tomorrow morning. It's a very extensive essay, and it has a lot of interesting things to think about. But suffice it to say that Ron Paul was the one candidate last night that got into the whole business of money and the value of the dollar and the relationship between the dollar and the Federal Reserve in regard to why your dollars don't go very far anymore. He was the only one who addressed that at all. The Allport essay provides a lot of historical meat and quantitative analysis to what Ron Paul was speaking about last night very briefly in the Fox presidential debate format. So take a look at that essay. It's entitled Money by Glenn Allport. You can find it at Strike the Root. A couple of other things come to mind that are well worth taking a look at this morning. The American Free Press has an essay by Mark Glenn on what happened last week at the No More Wars for Israel conference in Southern California. The piece is entitled Sabotage Fails, Free Speech Wins. This has an Irvine, California byline. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press says that it was not the fact that this reporter was under surveillance at the Spokane International Airport by a man-woman team when heading toward California, nor that one of the scheduled speakers, a Roman Catholic priest, was detained for close to 30 minutes as a risk to aviation safety by Michael Chertoff's Department of Homeland Security, that indicated that trouble was brewing for the upcoming No More Wars for Israel conference in Southern California. Rather, according to Glenn, it was what took place in the days and weeks immediately preceding the event that portended problems for all those involved with what was to be an expression of the rights to freedom of speech, religion, and association. As far back as 4 weeks before the scheduled meeting, says Mark Glenn, the hotel contacted one of the conference organizers and told him that persons claiming to be from the Irvine Police Department were calling all hotels in the area asking if an event entitled No More Wars for Israel was scheduled, warning hotel proprietors away from having any involvement in it. The organizers of the conference, foreseeing this as a likelihood, had booked the event in the name of Liberty Forum, rather than anything indicating that it was going to be a gathering of individuals opposed to the comings and goings of Israel. For months after the conference was announced, details as to the exact location were kept deliberately vague so that the forces opposed to freedom of speech and association would not be given a leg up in shutting it down preemptively. In the meantime, this reporter, says Mark Glenn, was receiving daily emails from Zionist agitators threatening that it was only a matter of time, quote-unquote, before the location of the event would be learned and pressure brought to bear in shutting it down. Besides this, several speakers whose names had been publicized as being scheduled to appear, as well as Islamic organizations in Southern California, began receiving emails warning them to stay away from the event, characterized by these agitators as a, quote-unquote, neo-Nazi gathering. As soon as the conference was made publicly known, the ADL posted details of it on its website. Less than 48 hours before the conference was to begin, one of the organizers received a message from the events coordinator at the hotel with a bombshell. The demand of $20,000 within 24 hours or the event would be banned. The contract had no mention of any down payment. An attorney in the area was quickly contacted and given all relevant information. The lawyer informed the organizers that indeed there was no legal case for the hotel to impose such a fee. In the meantime, says Mark Glenn, the hotel began asking questions about what the event was really about and whether or not this reporter, whose name is well known as the host, was involved in it. The attorney then called the coordinator and attempted to smooth out the difficulty, but despite the fact that about $8,000 had been quickly raised, it was insufficient for the demands of the hotel, and the event was canceled. In the meantime, people were pouring into Southern California expecting to attend the much-publicized event. Since the event had been canceled, the rooms that had been booked had to be paid for up front instead of at the end of the event as previously arranged. This resulted in attendees and speakers being forced to pay for rooms that they had already paid for, a minor problem compared to the fact that there was no location to hold the conference. This reporter, Mark Glenn, woke early on October the 13th and began going up and down the street to every hotel in the area to inquire about the availability of conference rooms. In almost every case, says Glenn, there were rooms available suitable for the needs of the event, but when this reporter was forced to give his name, the hotels suddenly became quote-unquote too busy to take on any new business. These locales had obviously been visited by someone from the other side. Another attempt was made to negotiate something with the original hotel where everything was booked and staying, but the manager would hear nothing of it. Not even a stack of $100 bills, half an inch thick, was enough to induce her in allowing the use of just one smaller room for the event. With a blank stare that betrayed no emotion, says Mark Glenn, the answer was the same to every question posed to her. Quote, the event is canceled. The event is canceled. The event is canceled. Unquote. By mid-morning, says Glenn, things were looking bleak. People were pouring in not just from around the country, but from around the world, including Canada and Australia. With the limited funds the organizers had, rooms had to be bought and people were forced to bunk two to a room. It was at that moment that Dr. Hisham Talawi of Current Issues Television, a seasoned political activist and one of the scheduled speakers, stepped up to the plate and saved the event from a meltdown. In a closed meeting with this reporter and some of the other organizers, Dr. Talawi's plan was simple. Put 10 people on phones calling all over the city in search of a locale, a park, a library, a church basement, anything that could house people, and revive the sagging morale of those who were dealing with the bitter disappointment of a conference that by this time was 16 hours past due by holding a protest outside the hotel. Media was contacted, says Mark Glenn. Signs were made, and then everyone there was briefed on their part of the plan. By 2 p.m., everyone had assembled outside the hotel, and with signs and placards began the victory cry in unison. No more wars for Israel. No more wars for Israel. No more wars for Israel. The group, says Glenn, of about 60 made its way down to the street corner where two live radio programs were taking place via cell phone. Dr. Talawi's normally scheduled Current Issues radio program featured on the Republic Broadcasting Network and one of Mike Rivero's What Really Happened. Unmindful of what may happen if police were called for holding a protest without a permit, the group continued making as much noise as possible and with surprising results. Honks from passing cars and thumbs-up signals from open car windows showing support for what they were doing. Dr. Talawi and this reporter, Mark Glenn, spent the bulk of the radio program interviewing the various people there at the protest, both scheduled speakers and attendees. The mood was electric. Protesters returned to the hotel to hear that a locale had been found for at least one night of the conference. Although it was close to 4 p.m., which meant a shortened speaking schedule, all boarded cars, shuttles, and cabs and made their way over to a Greek Orthodox church. The session began with a prayer from Father Christopher Hunter, one of the scheduled speakers. Michael Piper opened the proceedings by welcoming everyone. There were about 100 present. Close to one-third of the expected turnout had all gone as planned. Speakers ranged from this reporter to Eileen Fleming, pro-Palestinian activist, Wendy Campbell of Marwen Media, Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths, Muslim scholar and publisher of New Trends magazine, Dr. Kaukab Sadiq. Instead of the fancy Italian dinner that was supposed to be served at the Saturday night banquet, takeout pizzas were ordered. No one complained. Following the meal, the keynote speech was given by Hisham Talawi, who, arguing like some high-priced, high-profile lawyer, said the current wars in the Middle East were engineered by and for Israel, and not for the ancillary reasons bannered about in discourse these days for such as, quote, for freedom, unquote, or, quote, for oil, unquote. One of the more memorable events, says Mark Glenn, was a speech by Phil Turney, survivor of the attack on the USS Liberty, who, after receiving a standing ovation, recounted his experiences on the day that Israel attacked a lightly armed American recon ship, followed by a question and answer session. By the end of the evening, says Glenn, everyone was thoroughly exhausted. The ups and downs of the weekend's events had a strong emotional effect on all, and everyone headed back to the hotel. The next day, there was a small gathering at another locale that featured some of the remaining speakers, including the inimitable Dr. Friedrich Toben and rising anti-Zionist internet writer Patrick Grimm. One of the themes of the event, says Glenn, was the Jewish lobby and its stifling of free speech when it comes to the discussion of Israel. All of this was proven correct before the conference even took place. The fact that all had to be done in secrecy as if it were in a communist country, and then that in the end the hotel canceled the event, was proof positive that there can be no freedom of speech in any country where the Zionist agenda rules. But there is a growing number of people in America and throughout the world who are standing up and allowing themselves to be counted among those who refuse to go quietly into the night, who refuse to be silenced, and who in the finest tradition of America are now beginning to say with one voice, no more wars for Israel. That's Mark Lynn's essay today at the American Free Press entitled Sabotage Fails, Free Speech Wins. And for anyone who witnessed the events of last week, it was a most interesting event in regard to this whole issue of freedom of speech and the forces that were aligned against freedom of speech in Southern California in a fashion that is absolutely terrifying. It indicates that there's going to be more of this sort of thing in the days ahead. By the way, antiwar.com has a very important post today coming to us from Esquire magazine, and it's entitled The Secret History of the Impending War with Iran That the White House Doesn't Want You to Know. Two former high-ranking policy experts from the Bush administration say the U.S. has been gearing up for a war with Iran for years, despite claiming otherwise. It'll be Iraq all over again. In the years after 9/11, Flint Leverett and Hillary Mann worked at the highest levels of the Bush administration as Middle East policy experts for the National Security Council. Mann conducted secret negotiations with Iran. Leverett traveled with Colin Powell and advised Condoleezza Rice. They each played crucial roles in formulating policy for the region leading up to the war in Iraq. But when they left the White House, they left with a growing sense of alarm. Not only was the Bush administration headed straight for war with Iran, it had been set on this course for years. That was what people didn't realize. It was just like Iraq when the White House was so eager for war it couldn't wait for the UN inspectors to leave. The steps have been many and steady and all in the same direction. And now things are getting much worse. We are getting closer and closer to the trip line, they say. Says Leverett, quote, the hardliners are upping the pressure on the State Department. They're basically saying, you've been trying to engage Iran for more than a year now, and what do you have to show for it? They keep building more centrifuges. They're sending this IED stuff over into Iraq that's killing American soldiers. The human rights internal political situation has gotten more repressive. What the H do you have to show for this engagement strategy? Unquote. But the engagement strategy was never serious and was designed to fail, they say. Over the last year, Rice has begun saying she would talk to, quote, anybody, anywhere, anytime, unquote, but not to the Iranians unless they stopped enriching uranium first. That's not a serious approach to diplomacy, Mann says. Diplomacy is about talking to your enemies. That's how wars are averted. You work up to the big things. And when U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Ryan Crocker had his much-publicized meeting with his Iranian counterpart in Baghdad this spring, he didn't even have permission from the White House to schedule a second meeting. The most ominous new development is the Bush administration's push to name the Iranian Revolutionary Guards a terrorist organization. I'll repeat that one again. The most ominous new development is the Bush administration's push to name the Iranian Revolutionary Guards a terrorist organization, says Leverett, quote, the U.S. has designated any number of states over the years as state sponsors of terrorism. But here for the first time, the United States is saying that part of a government is itself a terrorist organization. Unquote. We have a caller, John in Tennessee. Go ahead, John.
Morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, if you don't mind, I'd like to go off topic for a minute.
Sure.
I know you have a guest coming up at the top of the hour. I think a little bit earlier you were talking about, I believe it was you, the dollar being devalued.
Yes.
Anyway, I think people would find it interesting if you do a search for Franklin Roosevelt. There's a quote in a letter that he had written, and right now I'm sorry I can't recall who it was to, but he actually made the comment prior to the crash that he was, because, you know, Roosevelt was a banker, and he had made a comment that he had a desire to devalue the dollar as much as he did, whoever it was that he was writing to. I believe, Mark, that we're going through that right now, that what we're seeing going on is intentional. In fact, I was watching Lou Dobbs yesterday, and for some reason his program is able to say some things that, or has the guts to say things that others don't. They were talking on there about China, Japan, and Thailand are actually beginning to, not so quietly anymore, dump American debt. They're starting to cash in on the T-bills and on the other bonds that they're holding. And we're going to see an effect from that. I believe it is absolutely intentional. And I'd like to warn people, if you have money in the market and it's in a self-directed IRA.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. This upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
And it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free. at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton joins us in just a few minutes. John, you still there?
I am.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I know I call in a lot, and I apologize for it, but, you know, I'm seeing things in the news, Mark, that I don't know how to even explain it, that it can't be good. I mean, when you consider that we $11.7 trillion in debt that we owe to foreign countries, that's a chunk of change. Now, they were arguing yesterday in the Senate, I believe, or I'm sorry, Friday, about a $5 billion. They said that Bush, $5 billion just wasn't enough over 5 years for the socialistic health care plan. When you break that down, you're talking about almost $900 million a year, maybe a little more. So that comes down roughly to $3 million a day. That's not enough. And then multiply that out and realize that China, I believe it's $40 billion a month that they're making in clear profit from the investments that they have in this country. $10 billion a week. That's a lot of money, man. And we owe that to them, and it's increasing daily. You know, it's almost exponentially. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. For every day that goes by, our debt to China, Japan, Taiwan, Thailand, and about 30 other nations, it's increasing almost, you know, exponentially. And our government, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, are telling us that our economy is fine. But yet we see an increase in foreclosure rates of private homes. There, I heard on the radio the other day that there's whole subdivisions in California that are brand new that are being abandoned.
The front page of the San Antonio Express News about 2 days ago said that here in Bexar County there is now a record rate of foreclosure.
Yeah, and there's brand new subdivisions in California that aren't even occupied yet, where completed homes as well as partially completed homes, the contractors are abandoning them, and homeless people are moving in them and living in these completed and incomplete homes that are $200,000 and $300,000 houses that have been abandoned. I mean, and things are great in America. Mark, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. When you look at what's going on and the website that I gave you, I believe it was Friday, I've been showing people that, and they don't believe it when they look at it. How do you not, and I'm changing subjects, I apologize, but how do you not, when you go to parliamentgov.net and go to the list of sponsors and see leaders from all over the world that have signed on to this global parliament with a world constitution that has been written, and they're begging for ratification and petition circulation on this website, and it's based in Colorado. I'll listen in, Mark. Thank you very much. It's almost overwhelming to me.
It is overwhelming, John.